Verse 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised, if he raised not up, if so be that he's dead, rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they which also are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Obviously, this Sunday is Easter Sunday, and I'll be bringing a message on the resurrection, of course. But with that, I want to, as a prelude to the message on Sunday, I want to talk a little bit about what Paul said here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If Christ be not risen, Paul gives us several conclusions. Number one, he said, if Christ be not risen, no believer will be risen from the dead. Jesus said, because I live, ye shall live also. If Jesus doesn't live, we don't live. If Jesus isn't risen from the dead, no one will rise from the dead. He is the first fruits of them that slept. I tried to point out to the fellows in the field down in Nevada the importance of understanding everything we have, all of the eternal blessings of heaven are directly due to the Lord Jesus Christ. Without him, there is nothing. Without him, there is no life. Without him, there is no liberty. Without him, all of the eternal things are of no consequence. So if Jesus is not risen from the dead, no one rises from the dead. There is no life apart from Christ's resurrection. Notice also, he said in this passage that we just read, if Christ be not risen from the dead, our preaching is vain. Our preaching is vain. Think about the preaching over the last 2,000 years of church history. Think about it. Think about the preaching of the apostles. Think about the preaching of the early church fathers. Think about the preaching of the great men of God in days gone by. Whether it's Martin Luther or John Wesley or Charles Spurgeon or Whitfield, Billy Sunday. Think of the preaching that has gone forth over the last 2,000 years of church history. If Christ be not risen from the dead, all of that preaching is meaningless. It's meaningless. It has absolutely no bearing upon anyone or anything. Think about it. Think about the people that have professed Christ. Think about the people that have come to the Lord. Think about the people that have repented of their sin. Think about the people that, whose lives have been changed through the preaching of the gospel. Paul said, if Christ be not risen from the dead, our preaching is absolutely vain. In verse 14 again, he said, our faith is vain if Christ be not risen from the dead. The faith that we have in God, the faith we have in the Word of God, the things that we believe to be true based upon the Scripture, the future, heaven, eternity, etc., is all vain if Christ be not risen from the dead. Our faith is absolutely without substance if there is no resurrection from the dead. If there's no resurrection, verse 15, Paul said, we are found false witnesses. If there is no resurrection from the dead, then every preacher who stands in a pulpit and declares the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is a false witness. We are not good men and exemplary men and honorable men if we are preaching a gospel that does not exist. How can preachers and those who proclaim the resurrection be considered honorable if there is no resurrection from the dead? Because each Sunday we stand in our pulpits and we say to the world, Jesus is risen from the dead. Now, if he is risen from the dead, then we are honest stewards of the truth. If Jesus is not risen from the dead, then we ourselves are false witnesses. Think of that. Think of the impact that that has. The apostles, who were the disciples of Christ, each one of them, with the only exception being John, died cruel, agonizing deaths. Not only were they martyrs for the cause of Christ, their deaths were gruesome. If you've ever read the historical accounts of the way the disciples died, Bartholomew, church history says, for example, was skinned alive. Some of them were sawn in two. Some of them had their heads cut off. Each of them died a cruel death. Some were hung. Church history says that when Simon Peter was about to be executed by crucifixion, he, Simon Peter, told his executioners, I am not worthy to die in the same manner that my Savior died. So they flipped him upside down and hung him head downward on a cross. That's how he died. John was boiled in oil in an attempt to kill him, but he miraculously survived. And then he was banished to the Isle of Patmos to live the rest of his life in perpetual isolation. Now we know why God spared him, don't we? He had to write the book of Revelation. But look, men do not face those kinds of deaths proclaiming a lie. Men don't do that. Men are not going to allow themselves to be tortured to death proclaiming a lie. Each of these men went to their deaths proclaiming Jesus rose from the dead. That is extremely significant to this entire story. If there is no resurrection, imagine all these disciples, all of the martyrs of church history, read Fox's Book of Martyrs, is all vain and meaningless. You mean to tell me that these millions of people over the last 2,000 years who have died excruciating, painful deaths, all of their testimony was vain, meaningless, worthless? They went to the grave in such a manner for nothing? But if Christ be not risen from the dead, that's exactly what you must conclude. Paul also said, if there's no resurrection from the dead, verse 17, we are yet in our sins. There is no salvation. There's no forgiveness. There's no redemption. We are forever in our sins, under the judgment of God, lost, condemned forever. No hope of salvation. If Christ be not risen from the dead, We are, all of us, still in our sins without forgiveness. If there is no resurrection, verse 18, believers who have died ahead of us are in hell. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished, Paul said. I look very forward to seeing a lot of people that have already gone over to the other side, including my dear mom and dad. I know in my heart I will see them again. We will embrace again. We will talk and fellowship together again. They are not dead. As my dad said, son, when you hear that I've died, don't you believe it. He said, I will not have died. I will have simply changed addresses. And that's exactly right. Dad just changed addresses. He's got a heavenly zip code now. Think about your loved ones who have gone on. Think about your friends, dear precious friends and relatives that have died in Christ, died believing Jesus died for their sins and rose from the dead. Paul said, if there's no resurrection, then everybody who has already died, fallen asleep in Christ, believing in Christ, trusting in Christ, are perished. There is no heaven for us. There is no redemption for us. There is no meeting place in the sky. There is no reunion in heaven for us if Christ be not risen from the dead. And in verse 19, he said, lastly, if there's no resurrection, then there is no hope. If in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. In other words, he's saying, if Christ be not risen from the dead, then there is no hope. Everything that we're doing, whether it's what you're doing day by day in your personal life, or what we're doing collectively as a fellowship, or when those guys stood in front of the British troops on April 19, 1775 and fired the shot heard around the world, and all of the sacrifices and all the things that have been done for the cause of liberty and the other biblical principles that God has given to us in His Word and in natural law, all of that means nothing. It means nothing. If Christ be not risen from the dead, there is no hope. There is no hope. Everything that gives us hope is found in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And that's why, beloved, no matter what we do and what our task is and what our challenge is, we must do it in hope. We must do it in hope. And I keep trying to emphasize this because I am tired of the hopelessness and defeatism and fatalism that are demonstrated by so many professing Christians in the freedom fight. Yeah, if there is no resurrection from the dead, then fine. Throw up the white flag, surrender, lay down. What are you even fighting for? What are you fighting for? What are you working for? What are you trying so hard for? What difference does it make, one way or the other? If there is no resurrection and if Christ didn't rise from the dead, then there isn't any hope and it doesn't matter. So just quit. I understand why some people that don't believe in God and don't believe in Christ and don't believe in the Word of God, I understand why they are overwhelmed with hopelessness. I understand why they're overwhelmed with defeatism and discouragement. But we are people of faith who know that Jesus rose from the dead. Look at verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. But now is Christ risen from the dead, which means what? Which means we have hope. Hope is not in a political party. Hope is not in the central power of Washington, D.C. Hope is not in a group of politicians. Hope is not in a particular legislation. Real hope is in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is where all hope emanates from. It all stems from that and goes back to that. That's why I encourage those guys down in Valley when I preach to them. I said, fellas, if you don't know the Lord, if you don't have Christ, then you don't understand anything about what all of this is about. You don't even understand the basic, fundamental, underlying foundation of why you're here and what we're doing and what the real issues are. If you don't understand that first and foremost, all of these issues are spiritual in nature. They come from Christ, come from His Word, from His laws, from Himself. So when we work and serve and pray and fight and do whatever it is God has tasked us with doing as believers, there is no excuse to not have hope. There's no excuse for it. Ban that idea from your heart. Get rid of it. People say, well, if this doesn't happen, it's all over. If this happens, it's all over. You know what? That kind of stuff has been happening for decades. And you know what? It's still not over. They've done this, and it's not over. They've done that, and it's not over. And they trampled this, and it's not over. And they've done this, and it's not over. And they passed this law, and it's not over. And they sent this into the fray, and it's not over. And everything they do and keep doing and redoing, and they, oh, it's all over. This, it's all over now. It's all over now. It's all over now. It ain't over! Why isn't it over? Because now is Christ Jesus risen from the dead. That's why it's not over. Amen. And His power overcomes everything the enemy can attack him with. Think about it. Don't you know that the enemies of God, including the demonic enemies of God, not just the religious leaders in Jerusalem and the political leaders of Rome and the military leaders that actually put the nails in Jesus' hands and feet, don't you know that all of them collectively, when Jesus was dying on the cross, don't you know that they assumed that at that moment they had achieved victory over Jesus Christ? And everything that He preached and everything that He taught, they had nailed Him to a cross and they were the victors. But you know, in the back of their mind, I think they were worried about it. Because remember whenever, after He was crucified, the Jewish leaders came to the Roman governor and said, you remember when this imposter spoke when He was alive, He talked about raising from the dead. Isn't that interesting? Just real quick, isn't that interesting? When Jesus talked about, He talked usually figuratively. The disciples of the Lord didn't understand what He was saying. They didn't get it, that He was talking about a literal physical resurrection from the dead. It didn't register in their minds. But the Jewish leaders who rejected and crucified Christ knew He was talking about a bodily resurrection. They got it. Hey, he said he's going to rise from the dead. Therefore, let's seal the tomb with stone. And remember Pilate's response? Go back in the scripture. He said, go ahead and make it as sure as you can. That's what he said. In other words, fellas, do your best. Isn't that amazing? The enemies of the Lord had this fear and trepidation. You know what? He might rise from the dead. And Pilate said, well, do the best you can. Make it as sure as you can. And that's what they did. And they put the great stone and they sealed it. And on the first day of the week, he came out of that grave and the stone was rolled away. And when the disciples got there, the grave was open. The stone was already rolled away. And by the way, the stone was not rolled away to let Jesus out. The stone was rolled away to show the disciples that he was already out. That's why it was rolled away. And Jesus rose from the dead. Therefore, everything we do in his name and for his sake. And this is another thing I told the guys down on the ground in Nevada. I said, fellas, everything we do has got to redound to the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, or it doesn't mean anything. And I want to say that to you too. Everything has got to glorify him. It doesn't glorify us. If we're doing it for our glorification, we're not doing anything for the right reason. If we're doing it for ulterior motives, for personal aggrandizement, benefit, whatever, it means nothing. It's got to bring honor and glory to him. It's got to be in accordance with his will. If it's not in his will, it won't last. If it's not in his will, there's nothing permanent about it. Nothing truthful about it. Everything true, everything honorable, everything holy is in his will. That's why as his people, it's so obligatory upon us that we always stay in his will and accomplish his will day by day. Minute by minute. Is Christ be not risen from the dead? Wow. What a picture. But now is Christ risen from the dead. Can I get a hallelujah? Amen. Amen. Go ahead. Applaud. That's fine. I see you starting. And because he's risen from the dead, not only is it not over, we're on the victory side. Let's stand for prayer.